Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One more time, welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, you at 617-779-7937. Nice to have you with us today here on this Friday, the 17th of January, 2025. And my Viking funeral from this show in this time slot. I won't be going very far. The Christian Arcand show launches on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. And I will be with you each and every night. So don't cry. Don't cry that it's over. Be happy that it happened. And also, don't worry, because I'm not going to be too far away either. Andy's not going anywhere. He will be holding it down here from 2 to 6 alongside Fitzy and Ted Johnson. If you have been living under a rock and this is the first time you're hearing this, I apologize with this sudden burst of information that I'm sure is a big, big deal. But anyways,
it's over.
Here we are. We got one more show to go.
Take heart with you, it says in the Twitch chat.
Okay, sure. You want to come with? You want to stay up all night?
No, not really.
No.
But if I did, I'd use a Lucky Energy.
There you go. Definitely not a Celsius because we're not allowed to drink those.
No. Yeah, stay far, far away from those.
If I see a Celsius, I'm just turning around and walking the other way. If I see one anywhere, if I see the word Celsius, if I see a Celsius thermometer up on the wall, I'm turning around going in the other direction. I want nothing to do with any of this.
They make you angry, it seems.
It's not bad. I just don't. I mean, yeah, no one's safe. With these Celsius things around. It's like the ring in Lord of the Rings. Everyone's fighting over it.
Us here, the happy-go-lucky Lucky Energy crew, we get along, right?
We're just lucky to be here.
We don't have feuds. We don't have fights. Well,
we never have.
We did have one, and we may listen to that later.
We certainly aren't going to replay any of those over the course of the show today as we go back over what was a fun fall book, I thought. It was fun working with you, Andy.
Look at you, the radio guy. It was a fun fall book.
It was.
We had fun for a while.
Yeah, we had fun. It was
and
a fun time.
Over.
Fun quarter. Let's put it that way. We'll put it in corporate terms. It was a fun quarter. Anyways, that was Adam Schefter. He spoke with us the other day.
Q3.
I wanted to start off with that because I feel like this offseason is starting off just like last year's offseason. There's been a very quick head coach search. There's now a prolonged, for some reason, we're not really sure why, offensive coordinator search. There's a bunch of people with ill-defined roles who are not really sure what they're supposed to do or how much power they have or who they're supposed to collaborate with and all that, and they have a ton of work to do on the roster. And for all the talk about how Mike Vrabel's going to come in here and start kicking ass and taking names and everything's going to be different with him and all that, the fact that the offensive coordinator search has slowed down to a crawl at this point has me concerned that we're facing a lot of the same problems that we faced in the last offseason. Now, Vrabel's probably going to be a better coach than Gerard Mayo. I think it's almost impossible for him not to be, right?
Sure.
I mean, we all agree with that. But this is sort of what my issue was, is that the ecosystem that he's coming into, it's sort of the same problem I had with drafting Drake May, is that you're bringing him into a situation that is hovering on the brink of dysfunction. I don't know if it's totally dysfunctional yet, but it's getting there. And these last couple of years have been dysfunctional. I don't know if you can just paint it all with a broad brush like that, because for 20 years, it was a well-oiled machine. So you don't just become dysfunctional overnight. 3 straight years of it, though, and then you can start asking these questions.
I don't know. When Brady left, it felt like they kind of became dysfunctional overnight.
It did. They did get back to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback, so at the very least, they had a little bounce there. But
yeah, but they had.
Other than that 1 year, you're right. I mean, it's been rough.
They signed a quarterback in July, and Bill's bitching. I mean, it would have given more than $1 million. Reset the salary cap.
Right.
He was ranting and raving. And then from then on, I don't even know if that was a success or a failure, because it depends who you ask about Mac Jones, how they drafted him, who drafted him, who wanted him, who didn't want him. If Bill wanted him, he would have traded up for him. He stayed put. And then he said, does everybody agree? And he created this dog and pony show for a Patriots.com video. It felt like it kind of got dysfunctional when Tom Brady went out the door.
Yeah.
He was the glue. I'm not saying he gets all the credit, But he was the glue that held it together because they went off the rails pretty damn quickly and pretty damn dramatically.
So why would you say he doesn't get all the credit then if it went off the rails when he left?
Because
all the other people are still here, so.
I guess you could make that argument. I just look at it in a more, like, that was circumstantial that it went off the rails like that. Because I do think some of it is they got old and cranky.
Mm.
And I always use the example of, like, the toilet seat that you leave up and your wife gets mad, but she doesn't really care when she loves you. And then when you're close to divorce, she's screaming about it.
Yeah.
You didn't change anything. You've been leaving the toilet seat up for 20 years.
True.
She decided to view it differently and voice it differently and air the grievance differently.
And you reach the breaking point. Oh, that's true. I think that happened between Bill and Brady. I think that happened between Bill and Kraft.
Yep.
I think that happened between all the people involved, really.
Absolutely.
So that makes sense. But when Brady left,
it fell apart.
It fell apart.
Absolutely.
And he succeeded elsewhere.
And that's why everybody said he was the Band-Aid or the ultimate fixer or the duct tape that held it all together. That.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, fast forward to now. I'm going to tell you why this is totally different than last year.
Okay.
Because last year, when they had a bag job hiring of a former All-Pro linebacker for head coach.
Which was totally different.
No. We didn't get to the different part yet. That's the same part. They had no idea what to do after that. That's why it got weird. It went sideways. You had a lack of leadership, and people were filling that vacuum. And people are wondering about Robin Glazer and Elliot Wolf and Matt, and that whole thing. Forget it. Now we have the Vrabes is the man era.
Right.
And I think McDaniels is the man era. Last year, interview. He doesn't want it. He wants too much money. Oh, AVP, you said yes, you would take the job. Oh, job is yours. Let's move forward then. This year, it feels to me, and I go back to Schefter the other day. Yeah, Adam, can you handicap the Patriots offensive coordinator search? Well, you know, one name that would seem to make sense is Josh McDaniels. Thanks. You got any others? Because I can do that. We've been doing that. We may have started that. I think you did. And Schefter was like, a couple weeks ago when we brought up McDaniels.
You brought up McDaniels before anybody else.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank
I'll
you.
Give you credit for that. I don't give you credit for much, but I'll give you credit for that.
And
100%.
Weeks later, Schefter's only bringing up McDaniels.
Yeah.
Like, he's the guy that, even if he was trying to do them a solid to pretend it's not a bag job, wouldn't he bring up, Wes Phillips, Josh McDaniels, anybody?
Yeah.
He didn't throw a single name in there other than Josh McDaniels. So I just think this is another, you know, show where they got in trouble. You know, my guess is somebody, I don't know how that works. Somebody from the league probably talked to somebody from the team about the whole Byron Leftwich, Pep Hamilton thing.
Sure.
Whether it's official, unofficial, like, why are you guys going to do that?
There was a talking to, I would imagine.
Sure, yeah. I don't know at what level. I don't know if it's at liaison level, craft level, somewhere in between, whatever. So now it's like, okay, so we won't do that. We can pause. For all we know, Josh McDaniels has worked at the stadium hall every day this week. Right? He could be in there.
Could be there.
He lives here. The guy on Jones and Keefe sees him get his paper every morning. So he gets his paper and he drives to Gillette and he starts the work day. We have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to check. I went back in their social media. They've had like nothing. They post their podcasts and 17 different ways.
Are you talking about the Jones and Keefe social media?
No. Sorry. Patriots.
Patriots social media.
Because I didn't know if we would get
they don't post anything.
The announcements. And all it is 17 different repackagings of Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
Hired pictures, cool pictures, shot of this, shot of that, backdrop, everything.
Fit of the day.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
And they've just sort of ridden that train, so I think it's just all quiet.
Familiar face, familiar place.
Absolutely. The one
and
that
then
was,
there's Drake and getting engaged.
Drake
right,
getting engaged and tap and download in 4K, Drake, because everybody has to do that these days.
Coach Rabe settling in.
Yeah, there's nothing
the
there.
HC. One-on-one with Mike Vrabel. It's true. It's all Mike Vrabel posts.
So
that's all it is.
My guess is maybe for the first edition of Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson next Tuesday, we'll have an offensive coordinator because they'll feel like they waited long enough. Oh, it's a weekend, a day, holiday weekend. Now we can announce.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the big difference. I think they know exactly who they want as the coordinator. I think the, how did Schefter phrase it? I know it was an easy contract because basically the Raiders are going to pay him all the money. And
right.
10 cents on the dollar or whatever.
It'll be agreeable.
So you think this is
all in the bag.
It's the opposite of last year where they couldn't find anybody.
Okay.
They had one person, they found him right away, and they're done.
So they're dragging it out just to not look like a-holes is what you're saying.
Racists.
Well,
that's what they're avoiding looking. Like,
they got to interview the people first
Keefe,
if they want to do that.
Keefe said it yesterday. Why can't we put out the coordinator interviews? And as Keefe said, what if they're all white?
Mm.
You got to play the game the way the league wants you to play it. Sorry, Schefter doesn't like it. I don't like it. No one likes it, but you got to do it.
Okay. What about the rest of the comparisons I made? As in the ill-defined roles, the fact that it was a very bag job head coach search, which we've talked about, sure.
Yeah.
But the fact that he's coming in here now, and there's still a lot of the same people, and the roles are still kind of sketchy and all of that, I think that's problematic.
So, two answers to that. A, I don't know if they're ill-defined. This feels a little Belichickian. Mm. Oh, we don't know who's calling plays. We don't know, is this guy the coordinator or is not? Is that guy calling plays? We went through that for various points of 20 years.
Yeah.
And Bill loved it. Bill ate it up. Remember when the whole Patricia thing and he was like, well, you know, the play call is one thing, but there's other aspects to the job leading up to the play call and how that's put together, blah,
right.
blah, 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 blah. Talked out of every side of his mouth that he could find. So there's that. But also, I don't think when you have a clear leader, the roles below it don't really matter because that leader will slap those people into place if they think they're out of place, right? And I think Mike Vrabel is the clear leader. Last year, there was no clear leader. For whether it was by design of the organization or failure of the organization or by failure for him to take charge, Gerard Mayo never took the bull by the horns. There was too much vagary. There was too much, I'd like to think as the head coach I decide who plays. No. You should just say, I'm the head coach. I decide who plays.
Yeah.
You phrase that differently, and we interpret it differently. So from this point last year, straight through really the bulk of the season. Actually, you know when he sounded really authoritative? I'm the head coach of this football team, and I'll always try to win.
Yeah.
And Robert was like, yeah, and I asked you not to, so get the hell out.
Yep, that's enough out of you.
That was the first time he sounded really authoritative.
It's kind of
true. And it cost him his job.
It's kind of true. A lot of things, I think, cost him the job. But
yeah. That was the final
That was
nail.
Certainly a big part of it. So if he's the man, if Vrabel's the man, and he's the one who's going to be in charge of all of these things, are the Crafts going back on what they did when they brought in Mayo and wanted to take their team back and not have it be just one dictator telling everybody what's what?
A little bit. Well, I think the pendulum went too far. There was an overreaction to the Belichick years. But also remember, that pendulum started to swing in the Matt Groh, we're going to be collaborative and Matt Groh is going to be the point man on the draft and all of those things. So it's not just really a one-year failure.
Right.
They kind of had a 3-4 year failure of the post-dictatorial Belichickian ways at the end. And I do think we did it the other day. Is there a Hardo? Is there a dictator on most teams? Yes, there has to be. It's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
I know people get a little squirrely when you compare military and football. Ah, it's not real bullets. They're not flying. But
who is the guy who was like, I'm a soldier? Remember that?
Winslow.
The
younger Winslow.
Right, before he got caught.
Freaked out.
Before he got caught doing all the stuff he was doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
To himself. And
bad
like,
guy, yeah.
Didn't he like old women or something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a bad dude.
Bad guy.
But football, you have to have a hierarchy in leadership.
I like how he just compared all those things like they're the same.
Yeah.
All the things that he did and also being like, I'm a soldier. Like, yeah.
The other things he did were way worse.
Way worse.
Yeah, worse than that. But I do remember him doing that. But there is a certain truth to that, that people need to know where they are in line. And I think if the third person isn't sure if he's the third or the fourth, okay, you can figure that out.
Yeah.
But if the first and the second people don't know who's actually the first and who's the second, then you have problems. And I think that was last year. No one knew who was in charge. And that doesn't even take into account, was Robin Glazer in the periphery of power for a little while? And we don't need to get into
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Whether she's still there, she's not there. I can tell you that she was there Monday when I was at the press conference, sitting there, second row. She was definitely still there. Whether she's still there today.
There is on behalf of the Patriot, not just the Kraft Group, right? I mean, because that was a Patriots event.
Oh, yeah. No. And and whether she's actually still employed. I mean, I had heard rumblings that people were wondering if she would resign, like that it didn't work. She kind of shot her shot for a bigger role in football and it with Gerard, and it didn't work then. Remember, I had even told you, I'd heard a couple months ago that when Bill started bringing her name up, she wasn't really involved.
Right.
Like, after the hiring of coordinators and after the hire, some of the stuff last offseason, she didn't have a big role. So I don't think she's going to have any role moving forward with Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, makes sense.
Whether she's there or not. She could be in the building. I don't think she's having a role with Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, and it was, I think Curran yesterday was telling us she's like a contract person. That's mostly what she does, is she's there for contracts and things like that, and is someone who's around the office and never really had as much of a big role as we thought. It was just...
She had a hammer.
It was one of those things that Belichick keeps bringing her up. Right?
He likes to poke people. It's
right.
Poking. Same but, reason he praised Mike Vrabel so hard.
Yeah.
It's true, but it also pokes Mayo and the Crafts.
Yes, but I also think that there was maybe a little bit of meddling going on there, or her representing the Crafts and trying to obstruct whatever he was trying to do, that type of thing. You know, like,
possibly.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Or
I don't think you just bring her up like that for no reason.
She also represented, I think, a lightning rod of criticism for the post-Belichick power structure.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're going to bring this person in and this person in, and I'm not even going to make it sexist or anything like that. I'm just saying, bringing in all these non-football people to you hear this in every organization.
Yeah.
The geek who came up through the salary cap department, now he's the GM. What the hell does he know about football
scouting?
The econ
major from Princeton.
Right.
Who was, right. All that
or
stuff.
In Cleveland they had it for, remember they brought in Paul D. Podesta?
Yeah.
Like, oh, wait, so we're going to bring in a baseball guy to run a football team? Like, the old school football
Weird
guys.
That didn't work.
Right. But the old school football guys, that pisses them off, as
right.
it should.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Bill only sees it when he's pissed off they bring in a baseball guy. Bill doesn't care that he brings a defensive guy to offense. He thinks that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, probably. The Patriots now have not been good for about 5 years, as we said, with that 1 year where they made the playoffs notwithstanding. And I was going back over some of the teams that had long stretches of being bad, like your Clevelands and Detroits and the Jets right now and sort of things like that, and what they all kind of had in common. And one thing is that they all had a stretch of really bad drafts, like bad draft. Cleveland in particular. I was going over Cleveland's drafts in like the early 2000s. Tim Couch, Courtney Brown, Trent Richardson, like just brutal
Trent
draft.
Richardson.
With the top 1, 2, 3 picks.
He was like third, I think.
Yeah.
Running back.
I mean, they whiffed on every single one except Joe Thomas, basically. Joe Thomas was one of the only good picks they ever made. And this was year after year after year. They're picking high. Danny Shelton was a first-round pick for them.
Oh, yeah.
Not that long ago. 2015, he was picked 12th overall. They could not have drafted worse. And you look at the Patriots lately, and they've been drafting very poorly, too, with the exception of Drake May. Now, that's the thing, is these teams whiffed on quarterbacks. The Jets whiffed on a bunch of them. They whiffed on Sanchez. They whiffed on
Wilson.
Wilson. They whiffed on a whole bunch of them. So, I mean, that's part of it. Detroit, when they had their draft, they kept trying to draft wide receivers. You remember in the
Millen
era?
Yep.
It was Roy Williams and Charles Rogers and, like, all Mike Williams. And they weren't bad. Rogers was bad. But they weren't all terrible. It's just they couldn't quite put it together with John Kitner, whoever the QB happened to be, and they were mixing and matching guys like that. The Patriots are in sort of a weird limbo between drafting poorly, which they have, but also having hit on two guys that could be, and I think are on the way to being cornerstone players. So they're not quite as bad as some of these teams, but they're getting close. And I think that when you look at prolonged eras of sucking, which is what it is with these teams, the Patriots are kind of close to that. They're kind of close to being one of those teams. They have to draft their way out of it, and I'm not sure that they have the wherewithal to do it.
100%, and I think Robert has said this a lot of times. Even when he was talking about the 2021 spending, and it's always back to the draft, and this really isn't the way we want to do it, but when you don't draft well, you kind of have to try to make up for it in some form or fashion. And right now, they could be on the cusp of some... If they can get one draft that's deep, then we will clump May and Gonzo in.
Yeah.
But right now, they're sort of outlier star players.
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody to clump together. It's like the 2021 draft at first looked like a home run.
Yeah.
You had Mac Jones and Christian Barmore. It's like, holy crap, I might have got the best player on my offense
they're
and my
back.
Defense.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
And then hindsight petered out. Like, I know Barmore's still here and you re-signed him, but That doesn't look as good. Even Stevenson.
Mm.
It's like, what is he now? Do you really feel great about him?
No.
Not great about him? No, I wouldn't
either. I felt good about him as a 2 to 3 year guy like I did with Damian Harris
right.
and with Sony Michel. And Michel was way overdrafted. But you know what I mean? Like that type of guy, you know, you draft
and move
him
on.
And then you go on to the next guy.
And now he's
instead
your mainstay.
They re-signed Ramondre right. Stevenson. That's exactly the opposite of the type of thing Bill used to do.
But they need a home run draft.
Yeah.
And because last year, it looks like you got, I know Layden Robinson's an all rookie team guy because he had a few good snaps or whatever. But
right, but he's also, according to PFF, one of the worst guards in the league. So
I saw more of that. Yeah. I saw a little more of that than the few good snaps that made him all rookie.
There just weren't a lot of rookie left guards is the problem.
And that's the pressure that's on. This is a good question. Who is the pressure really on? It's year one Vrabes, and Vrabes is the man.
Right.
But is it on him or Elliott Wolf?
I mean, I think it's got to be on Vrabel now.
I think so, too.
He
and
walks
that's weird.
In, and it's all of a sudden, he's the man. Then, all right, you're the man. Then he said, I'll take the blame.
But
right? He said that to Tom Curran.
But part of the reason Elliott Wolf is here, and Tom Curran clarified this, I think, with the investment of time, they changed the scouting grades, how Elliott wants them scouted. So aren't we really in kind of year one or one and a half of Elliott Wolf's system in New England?
Mm.
But I think it's now on Vrabes' shoulders. And I do think he's the spotlight. It's what I ranted to you the other day. I love this now. If they draft well, I'm giving Vrabel credit. Sorry, Elliott. If they draft poorly, I'm giving Vrabel the blame because he is the point man on everything they do. He has final say on the roster, we believe. I think that's now the perception thanks to Curran and Schefter and everybody else. So that's a lot of pressure when he's leaning on Elliott Wolf's information, organization, grading system, whatever it is. Or it's a lot of pressure on like Ryan Cowden to kind of blend it, right? He's probably the weird intermediary.
Yeah.
Bringing Vrabel, because Vrabel's not always going to be there. Mm-hmm. Cowden's always going to be in personnel.
Right.
But he has Vrabel in mind, melding that with Elliott Wolf's system. Maybe he's the most important guy.
Yeah, certainly
sneaky
could be.
Hot take, Ryan Cowden, most important man in Gillette Stadium.
He'll be the fall guy if it doesn't go right to start off, I'll tell you that, because people are going to give Vrabel chances. They're going to give him chances. They like Mike Vrabel. They like him more than they liked Mayo, and he's got a better resume. So it's not going to immediately be if something goes wrong, oh, Vrabel screwed it up. It's, well, Vrabel knows what he's doing. He had that run over in Tennessee. It must be these other guys. So you got to be careful with that. That's going to be an interesting thing, because I don't think it's going to go super smoothly here. In this first year, the team just has so much work to do to get their way out of this hole that they're in. 617-779-7937. One way to get out of that hole is to get some talent. And Mike Vrabel is talking about A.J. Brown, his old buddy A.J. Brown he had in Tennessee. He's going to be playing this weekend in the division round with the Eagles. And, well, Vrabel would love to have him on the Patriots. So would I. So would all of us. We'll get to that with your phone calls right after Dan Ball. Get you caught up on what's trending.